Let's turn our Bibles to Joshua chapter 2 this evening. Great to see you tonight. Thanks for coming out on a Sunday evening. Joshua chapter 2, and if you could also pick up Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we'll turn there in a little bit here. But wanted to, before we get into the message, congratulate Caitlin and Simon for getting engaged. So, well done. So congratulations to them, and wonderful, wonderful news there. And I can tell because Simon got a haircut for the occasion. And that's wonderful news, and we're prayerful for them. And so a couple of weddings coming up. Praise the Lord for that. Joshua chapter 2 tonight, and last week we just looked through the reconnaissance of the land. And as you understand it, Joshua's now entered into right at the border of the promised land, and in order then to really scope out what was happening on the other side of Jordan, he sends two spies over. And we spoke about how God, many times when we take a step for him, he's already gone before us. And we spoke about Rahab in just what God had already done, what God had already spoken to her about through various means. We don't quite know, but she had found out just the great force that was about to come to take over the mighty city of Jericho. And we continue the story here in verse 12, and we'll read right down to the end of the chapter. And we're going to continue to observe, in some ways, God's response to faith. And really, that's really the determining factor here, the difference maker in the story that we're reading through in the book of Joshua is really it's about courageous faith. And it's not simply that Joshua had courageous faith. There was also different characters in the story, and particularly here in chapter 2 of Rahab, who was courageous in her faith. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as we continue here. Verse 12, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord," Rahab speaking, "since I have showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And she understood that the Israelite army had marched through, had conquered different kings, had been going through the wilderness up until this point, had wrought some great victories, and their reputation had somewhat preceded them. God, in just what he had promised the nation, that he was going to go before, that he was going to prepare the way, also meant that they had heard. And so she was asking them certain things to rescue them from the certainty of their death. And notice the men's response. And the men answered her, these two spies, "Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." And you almost sense the confidence of these spies. And you imagine how they begun. They would have crossed that River Jordan, which would have been a task in itself. And then they come into this city of Jericho with its expansive wall, with this great fortification that they surely would have thought, how are we going to get past this? And you imagine then perhaps some fear and some maybe even doubt start to creep into their hearts. And yet they knew that they were given this task, given this reconnaissance mission by their great leader, Joshua. And so we read the parts of the story already where we understand Rahab, who was a woman of ill repute, had taken in, and without them even realizing it, God had already started to work in her. And so you can almost sense the building up of the confidence of these men, that whilst this was a great challenge, that God was with them. Again, they're starting to begin to really believe, "when the Lord hath given us the land." Verse 15, "Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, 'Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And she would have known the lay of the land. She would have, living on that wall, would have looked out her window per se, and would have looked out to see all of the different grooves and the different markers in that whole region there. And so she gives them some advice on how to get away. And verse 17, the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, and his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And so they agree. They give conditions. They say, make sure you don't tell anyone. And put this scarlet thread, this scarlet rope, to signify that this is your house. And what great imagery, isn't that? Of the blood of Christ and the rescue in which we find through the blood of Christ. And they continue, and if thou, in verse 20, utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And what a positive report they gave back to Joshua after seeing what God had already done through this woman named Rahab. They now were full of, I guess, confidence in what God had done. And that filled their hearts with great courage to then pursue, to go forward in this mission to take on the promised land. And what we find, again, in this story is this how the city was taken over and how God had actually responded to someone's faith. You think about this whole the context of what we read, we understand that this was a city that really was doomed. God had already given them the warning. They had already been forewarned that this force, the Israelite army, was going to come in and take over. And they already knew that by and large, that something was coming. And no doubt in God's plan, in God's mind, his whole mission for this group of people was to take over and to conquer the promised land. That was the call. That was the mission. And notice how much of that really was the case. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. And God didn't say, you know, go and take over a little bit. No, notice the language in which he uses to really hammer home for us the kind of force that Israel was supposed to go into the promised land with. Verse 1, look at chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, they're there now. This is before. This was an instruction. They had well known of this. And hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all the other ites, right? Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Notice that. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. And we see the word there, utterly destroy them. That was God's directive. That was God considering that promised land not to be theirs, it was to be his people's. And the way that in which they were to come into that land was with great force. They were to utterly destroy them. And yet, within that, he says, don't show mercy. But then what we do find is within the scope of who God is, he's going to show mercy anyway. You know, this whole happening with Rahab couldn't have happened without, firstly, really, again, God's mercy. God showed some mercy with some of the inhabitants there. And yet that mercy was a response, really, to someone who sought God by faith. You understand that faith can move the hand of God. And you understand that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And you see, faith, I'm saying, can make all the difference. Faith is what pleases God. Faith is moves God even within the bounds of his directives, and God will at times move as a response of faith. You know, there's many, many occasions in our lives where there's a choice between faith and fear. There's a choice between proceeding by faith or trying to do it in our own strength. And many times we, in our humanity, will choose sight, the things that we see, the things that, you know, we can comprehend and understand, the things that we would deem as reality. But actually, God doesn't look at that. He looks at the realm of the unseen. He looks at the realm of the things to come. And he deals, and he's very much pleased with this avenue of faith. And so really, as we read those scriptures in Joshua chapter 2, really it's again a little bit of a commentary of Rahab's faith. Of this one who, like we said last week, was probably unlikely as far as the whole city of Jericho was concerned. And yet here she was, enacting her faith, here assisting the people of God in the mission that God has for them. And there's more lessons today just on Rahab's faith. And I want you to note a couple of things. Firstly, we noted verses 12 to 14. It starts off there in verse 12. Go back to Joshua chapter 2 and says there, "Now therefore I pray you," so now Rahab speaking to the two spies, "swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house." And notice her bargain here. And here, faith, she's saying, by the Lord. She's saying, as I believe the Lord to be, I've shown kindness, and so please you show kindness to my household. And here's the first lesson that we learn this week as we consider Rahab's faith again. Faith appeals based on proven works. You know, you remember the story. She had taken them in, and the soldiers, the king's soldiers, came knocking on the door and asked her, you know, where did those men go, and what did she do? She hid them. She was instrumental in preserving their life, instrumental in making sure that they weren't caught. And what she did there, she really proved where her allegiance lay. She put her allegiance not on the city in which she grew up, Jericho, not in the people that she had known and perhaps even in her own way had worshipped the false idols of that land, but she had firmly put her allegiance to the Lord's side. She had firmly placed that with them. She had risked her own life. She had shown already that she was a different person, and now her faith was being used as an appeal for greater things, an appeal based on her proven works. What we find firstly is that she sought reward. She said, "Reward me this." She said, "Show me kindness as I've shown you kindness." She said, in some sense, you know, this ought to be a reward for what I've done accordingly to the faith that I have now. And I somewhat quoted this verse, but in Hebrews 11:6, the Bible tells us, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and notice this, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, we have a God who's a rewarder God. You know, do you think about the, how amazing God is? God showed us grace. God daily shows us mercy. And then when we do, based on his strength and based on his grace in our lives, when we do those things that please him, he then on top of that, like that's not enough. On top of that, he gives reward. On top of that, he sees the enactment of our faith and he's pleased with that and he's a rewarder. You know, much of what we get to do oftentimes is a fruit of just the faith in which we were able to enact upon. And you know, often faith is pictured in the Word of God as a seed. You know what a seed does is when you plant it, it yields something. When you do with faith what you're supposed to do with it, then it yields great fruit in our lives. You know what that is? It's reward. You know, many times we might look at our lives and we might look at the empty shelves of where fruit should be, and we ought to ask ourselves, have we approached life with faith? Have we gone by faith to do those things? And are we patient to see the reward? And here she was appealing by faith based on faithfulness, based on the fact that she had already enacted and proven through her works. And we read a couple of verses in the book of James last week how the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. That actually the proving, not the earning of our faith, but the proving of our faith, really is a production of works in our lives. That as we go about and we live faithfully, then there's a corresponding working and there's a corresponding appearance of those things that ought to be there. And secondly, she not only sought reward, but she also sought favor. She went more than that. Notice again, she asked for her household. She said, show kindness not only to her, my father's house, and give me a true token. She elaborates on that in verse 13, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. You know, she asked for more. She asked for favor. She asked here that not only will you just be true to your word for me, that everyone in my household, we talked last week how so often when there's a real faith in our lives that it then flows into our concern for those around us, for those loved ones that we have. And here, Rahab again, her faith in her appeal, she's appealing for more. She's appealing for not only her safety and not only her deliverance, she was looking at the deliverance of those whom she cared for and loved. You know, one of the great motivators for us to live by faith is that faith overflows. That faith actually impacts the lives of others. And we're going to see that in a bit here as well. But you understand she sought for favor and ultimately she wanted more than what she had even thought she deserved. And faith looks beyond self to even the needs of those around. And often we seek favor at times only for selfish gain. But here in this instance, as she made the appeal, her faith motivated her to ask for more for others. It motivated her to just appeal to these two who at this point were representatives of God to just go and make sure that her extended family was going to be left to there to live. And what she did, she sought reassurance. Notice that last bit of verse 12, she says, give me a true token. Help me see, give me assurance. And I love that the men answered her in verse 14, and men answered her, our life for yours. Said, on our life, we want to do this. On our life, we want to make sure that your faith is rewarded. And she asked the question in faith. Why? Because she sought an answer by faith. She had no other guarantee except for the word of these two. And her request was answered positively by the spies. Why? Because they saw the real faith in Rahab. They saw that she had already risked her life. They saw that she was going to be one that they could give their word to, because she had already at this point had already kept her word. And so her request was answered by the spies. And what I'm saying is, so often faith produces faith. See, her faith enacted in them a faith in her, but also a faith to now go and speak to Joshua about this lady. You understand, they had no other proof apart from their survival that this was a true account. You know, they could have come back and who knows. But they just in their estimation, God was at work. In their estimation, God had put something real in her life. And in their estimation, then they could go forward and tell Joshua by faith that this was going to happen. That this city was theirs to be conquered. And faith always produces faith. The spies had to have faith that Joshua would recognize, evidently, the validity of their account thus far. And so, firstly, what we see is faith appeals based on proven works. But then, secondly, we see in verses 15 to 17, not only does faith appeal based on proven works, but then faith acts on what one has committed. You know, she made a commitment. In verse 15, after all of that, the end point there shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, again, the confidence that they had, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And notice what she does then. Verse 15, then she let them down by a cord through the window. You know, that same window will have a different cord. It'll have a scarlet line. And through that window, as she let down the spies for their rescue, she was also going to get rescued one day. And what it was a reward of her faith, but this was really a commitment on her part. She let them down by a cord. She was true to her word. And for her house, the Bible says, was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. We read it earlier. She gives them some counsel in verse 16 about the mountains, where to hide, and to hide for 3 days. And in verse 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. They were saying, it's up to you. You know, if you do your part, then we will do our part. And what it was, faith acts on what one has committed. Rahab enacted on what she had heard. She was now committed. She was now really acting on that commitment. And what that is, our actions really, in the end, that's what marks our faith. It's not our words. You know, many people have words of faith. They'll speak about that time where God touched their lives, and that time where they surrendered, that time they made that decision, that time that... And you know, we could say all of that, but if there's no action to the words of our faith, then is it really faith? You know what marks our faith? Our actions, our follow-through, our commitment to do. And she's been given this action. She let them down by a cord, and then they told her in verse 18, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. You know what it was? It was an enactment of that very, very commitment that in the end indicated to them that she was a person of her word. And you know, Abraham was another character that way. God knew, based on his actions, that he could be trusted. In fact, the Bible tells us that God saying about Abraham, I know him. And then these three words, that he will. There's another character in the New Testament, in the early church, Lydia, the seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, where in Acts 16, 15, she makes that same appeal. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us saying, and notice what she says, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And then she constrained us. You know what constrained them? It wasn't literally Lydia. It was just the fact that Lydia was true to her word. Her actions spoke and her faithfulness was evident, and they just couldn't deny. They were constrained. They were convinced through her manner of life, through the fact that she would follow through with her commitment, that she was worthy. that she was one that could be trusted. And I'm telling you, your actions become what marks your faith. You know, many times we can make empty promises. We can say things that in the moment, perhaps a bit of a flash in the pan where we might feel a sense of emotion. And maybe it's real in the moment, but you know what's going to mark it to be faith is when you enact on it, is when you follow through. And Rahab did that. You know, also our commitment, what it does is it motivates others in their commitment. Because they owned it. They said, our life for yours. That later on we will be blameless of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. The spies were basically saying this, hey, we're in with you. If you do what you say you will do, then we will do what we say we will do. And you know, there's just something convicting and motivating when we watch someone follow through with their decision. There's just something about that. You know, one of the reasons why I'm still in church and I'm still doing what I get to do is I watched others over the course of my life who, through their own trial and through their own testing and through their own troubles and even through their own disappointments and discouragements and doubts, stuck with it. And they're still going. And you know, the things that they said they would do, they're still doing. And you know what another generation and you know what others in the church need to see is that you will stick true with your commitment. Is that you will be there. Is that when you go through some trouble perhaps and some testing and some waiting, which is what Rahab had to do, that you're going to stick true. And that actually your commitment is going to ring true because your faithfulness is real. You know, faith acts on what one has committed. And so she enacted that and it motivated the spies to go confidently and be heard on the other side to tell Joshua. And really, in the third place tonight, verses 18 to 21, is the third lesson. Not only did she enact on her commitment, her faith motivated, or her faith was one of commitment, but then she accepted responsibility for her future blessings. You know, faith accepts responsibility for future blessings. And notice verse 18. It says, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. So by the window they had been let down, and they said, bind this line of scarlet. Now skip down, look at verse 20. Notice what the spies said. You know, it's up to you, is basically what they were saying. If thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. So it's null and void. And notice what she said. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. You know what she was doing? She accepted the responsibility. You know what faith does is it doesn't look for external motivators. It doesn't look for external. It just goes. It accepts that in the end, one's faith has to be personally, and has to be taken personal responsibility of. And so the outcome of her future, you think about it, was squarely really now in Rahab's court. How the spies acted, how all of that wasn't going to, her part had to be done. And how her faith plays out was going to be the determining factor for her future. And you know, many times we can look at the situations of our lives and we might endure some things. And we might say, oh, it's not optimal conditions, or it was just too difficult. And you know, there's a reality that we live in a life that there will be testing and there will be a test of our faith. But in the end, you know, it's not the external forces that really determine how we go in life. It's actually how we take personal responsibility for what God has given us to do. That's faith. It's an ownership. You know, it's easy to play the blame game. And we might get discouraged. There might be times where there are those that might throw us for a loop. They might fool us and they might even not be so true to what they say that they will be. But in the end, how your life will turn out will very much be based on how you accept your responsibility for your own future blessings. And that's faith. See how we live out our faith, it has consequences. And pardon the pun, but Rahab had very much her whole life on the line. Right? Her life was literally hanging by a thread. And so it was that. She had to take responsibility for ensuring that that scarlet thread was there, that that was going to be visible, that that was going to be there when they were there. And it was going to be up to her to fulfill her end of the bargain. She, at some point, perhaps would have gone through in her humanity, of course, maybe some doubting, will the spies ever come back? When's the army coming? And perhaps she may have some days just watched that thread and wondered if that was the day. Or maybe she got cold feet. And maybe there was some point where she wanted to run off and tell her city authorities what had actually happened and to keep guard. But what we know is she fulfilled her end of the bargain. You know why? Because she took personal responsibility. And not that you, when we take personal responsibility, there's never going to be any testing and maybe even any temptation and maybe no doubt. But you understand this, that it just faith realizes and recognizes that in the end, it's not those extenuating circumstances that determine how our life goes. It's actually our personal responsibility. And really, at the end, for her and for many of us, how we live out our faith, it has consequences for others. You know what Rahab did? She put the onus for her family's future on herself. She said, I'm going to take responsibility. They might not even know. They may not even appreciate. They may not even fully believe me. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask for favor and I'm going to live out my life and I'm going to believe and I'm going to do based on my faith. And it was a consequence for others. Rahab had already asked for a favor by including her family in the bargain. But here's what she was doing. She was living out her faith because she believed that it would be better for others. You know, I think that's a great motivation. Think about my family and, you know, God's blessed me with a beautiful wife and three children that are healthy and three that God has given us stewardship over. And you know, one of the things, and there's times, and you can ask my family, we're pretty open. There's times where I get down. There's times where I'm frustrated, and there's times where, but you know what always pulls me up? You know what keeps me going the next day? You know what keeps me believing? You know what keeps me taking another step in faith and another step in faith? Not because I'm superhuman, but it's because there's this family that God has given me that there's consequences for them if I don't live by faith. And then on top of that, God has asked me by His grace to pastor this church. And there's a lot on the line. And there's a lot at stake. And, you know, there's times where in my own humanity, in my own spirit, I'm even grieved at my lack of faith. And there's times where I have to go through again and remind myself why I can have faith and why I can take on. And you know, when it comes down to it though, I can look at all of the issues and all of the pressures, but it comes down to a response of faith in here. It's personal responsibility. And faith accepts responsibility for future blessings. But then lastly, verses 22 to 24, they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days. We know that. They followed her counsel, her advice. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua and told him all things that befell them. And here's the last thing, and faith really at the end, it affords passage for those who seek God. You know, faith is not isolated. You know, sometimes you think, there's this a bit of an attitude today. You know, it should just be a personal faith. And we just spoke about that. But we think that that's it. Like, keep it with yourself. You know, most people in Australia don't care about your faith until you start sharing it. Until you start to live it out. And they, yeah, have your faith, it's fine, just... But you know what faith does? Faith is not isolated. Faith is effectual. You know, faith is meant to be living. Faith is meant to be growing. And faith is meant to be enacted. And what happened in the life of Rahab had a profound effect not only on her family and herself. It had a profound effect on a nation waiting on the assurances of God. And what happened was without faith, then all of this that befell them actually would not never have happened. Rahab had to be there by faith. And what, firstly, faith does when it affords passage for those who seek God, we note here that faith brings alignment to the mission. Because here it was, they were wondering what was about to take place. They didn't know about Jericho and all of that, but they knew now. They had come back with a report. They had come back, and now the mission was aligned. There was going to be someone on that side that they needed to rescue. There was going to be a household that was going to have a scarlet thread that was going to signify rescue. And there was going to be a city that was going to be taken over, really because of Rahab. Because of this, the interaction, the confidence that was given in Joshua now was being told. The spies and Rahab, they were now all on the same page, and faith brings alignment to the mission. It's amazing that when you go down the life of faith, who God brings along the way to affirm in our own lives what the mission is, what we're supposed to do. And so faith aligns the mission. But then secondly, in this, faith brings to light God's providence. Because here's the point of it. They came back with a report. Here's a report. We see it in verse 24. They said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. You know, they didn't know that until they came back because of the help of Rahab. And faith brings to light God's providence. See, that's the realm with which God allows us to see. It's actually in the unseen. There's things that we don't know until we follow by faith. There's things that we don't understand until we follow by faith. There's things that we can't fully comprehend until we follow by faith. And sometimes we can look back because God is previous and we can see how God did it, but we can only see it if we followed by faith in the first place. And Rahab was instrumental. This lady who probably, maybe, was the least likely, maybe the least to be won over. And here she was. Her faith made all the difference. And faith brings to light God's providence. And the knowledge of what the inhabitants were thinking, it was only discovered because of Rahab's faith. It was only known because there was a lady in a city, in a place that very much was part of the conquest. And yet, what happened? Faith happened. And when faith happens, God's pleased. And when faith happens, God, even God, is moved. And so through the spies' reconnaissance, Joshua gained greater courage to pursue what God had called them to do. And this huge task suddenly was matched by what God was doing even ahead of them. And don't doubt what God can do ahead of you. Don't doubt that God is already working. And by faith, follow through. And you'll be amazed what God will do. You'll be amazed at how God will respond. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening that we've had. Thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful book that, Lord, just so clearly examples for us and illustrates for us just that life of faith, how it conquers, how it brings courage and how, Father, Lord, it drives us forward in all that you're asking us to do. And Father, we're thankful that tonight our faith can be strengthened. And that as we approach the week, in whatever the challenges are, we can rest assured that, Lord, if we follow by faith, Lord, we'll see you move forward and get ahead of us in faith. And so I pray that you'd help us, Lord, this week to see you, to, Lord, look for you, and to look to you for our strength. And I pray that you bless each one tonight in Jesus' most precious, holy, wonderful name. Amen.